We are activating your unique self-discovery one show at a time. The Orchard of Wisdom Self-Discovery Podcast are at your fingertips, just waiting to inspire and invite you in discovering just how awesome you really are and how to navigate through life in joy, enrichment, personal abundance, in mind, body, spirit, heart, and soul. All the people we bring you are here to serve you on your journey of life. Do enjoy our next show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Their Story Matters right here on selfdiscoverymedia.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy. My guest that's joining me today is Spike Adams. We're going to be talking about The Mask, a book that he found after his son's death, and the wisdom that was left behind from a child who could no longer live here. We see today far too many people leaving us by their own choice, and we try to understand why. What did we do wrong? How could we have helped? Did we not see the signs? Why did they leave us? Why did they give up? So many questions we are left with. But in The Mask, even though it is a storytelling, it kind of leaves the answers in many different ways and is a wonderful tale that helps us understand frailties, understand an inner truth, understand that it even takes courage to leave us. Last week, we lost one of our stars called Stitch. He was on America's So You Think You Can Dance, which he won. He was DJ with Ellen DeGeneres, a father, three children. And on the outside was a complete, upbeat, loving person. And you thought he had it all. But nobody knew the demons that were running around inside. And he took his own life. We don't know what and why someone does it, but only that they just can't live here anymore. So Clayton has written this book, which his father found on his computer afterwards. And we're going to be telling the story of Clayton from his point of view, Clayton Marshall Adams. He suffered from clinical depression. I do know what that's like. And subsequently, it just got too much for him. And even though his parents tried to help him in any way that they could, it was still something that they didn't know what was going on inside. So it makes it extremely hard to try and reach out and do anything about it. So let us have a look at Clayton's gift that he's left us. He's left us in the form of this book that his parents have put out as a gift to us. When someone leaves this planet, they're leaving the physical body, but their spirit always lives on. And when we choose to ignite that spirit, to attach to that spirit, they never die within our hearts and souls. They're just no longer there physically. But the gift that he's left us with, the mask, and now kind of a purpose for his dad, Spike, to kind of share that purpose out with other people so that it may be inspirational, maybe illuminating, maybe educational, and maybe just speak to someone else that's going through struggles that they just don't know how to articulate, don't know how to explain, or don't know how to get help. And we've also got to realize that sometimes some people come here to be a bright light and leave us, but leave the light behind to show the way forward for others. Welcome to the show, Spike.
Oh, thank you so much. That was beautifully said. That was wonderful. I love that about leaving a light behind. He certainly did that. Yes.
Exactly. I mean, we have no idea. We all sign a soul contract when we come here, and we're spiritual beings having a human existence. And, you know, we come here to have that existence. And some people, it's a short contract. What do they do in that short time? What impact do they leave behind? We don't know what causes depression. I've been a person that's gone down that rabbit hole. I know what depression can feel like. There is no rationality to it. There's no logic to it. Someone's just gone in to your heart and soul and pulled it out of your guts. It's a feeling of despair, and you don't know how to hone it in or what to do with it. And it's very hard for the person going through it, but it's really, really hard for the loved ones on the outside because they don't know how to help. And as we were talking before the show, you saw the signs, but you just didn't know how to reach him because he had shut right off.
Yes, yes. He had, yeah, he closed himself off. He would not open up. He had distanced himself. And as I was explaining to you on one occasion when I was off at a conference. Essentially, I got a call from my wife to come back. Something had happened and concerned Clayton. And he had been in a therapy group with teens and young adults. And apparently, he had made some statements about suicidal ideation. And so we're told to get him to emergency room. And my wife, Jamie, she did that. And I got back. And I remember walking into the room and I saw him there. And he was just lying. And he smiled at me. I smiled. And Clayton, how are you? We had a conversation, like, what's going on? How are you feeling? But he really didn't want to share. He didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to open up to me, nor did he want to open up to Jamie. He was very private person, and essentially he didn't let anybody in. And I thought that essentially after he had that experience of being hospitalized. After expressing what he felt, it essentially said, I'm not making this mistake again. Because I know if I, say I don't feel well, I feel like hurting myself, I'm going to wind up in the hospital. And I don't want to be in the hospital. So never, ever did we hear anything else. He might have had those thoughts. He might have felt that way. And I looked through his materials that he had written. I never did come across any information that expressed some sense of that he wanted to harm himself. I came across information that really, as you were explaining, which you did so eloquently, essentially how he was in a very, very dark place. He said several times in this sheet, and I truly wish I had found this earlier, but we tried to ex respect the boy's privacy. We didn't go through their things, but here was this letter. There was no date on it. And essentially, he was saying how he was struggling. And he mentioned struggling a couple times. And he went through this entire litany of everything really that was not right with his life, how he's 21 and he's living at home. He's in a job that he doesn't like. He has no friends. He didn't have a girlfriend. He didn't see his life going anywhere. He didn't wasn't able to write anymore, which was so very important to him. It's like he couldn't focus, he couldn't think. And he said, my self-esteem is so low. I feel like crying. Why can't I write? And I saw another paper, again, no date. It was a something on a school assignment that he had written. And he was questioned. I don't know what the prompt was. But in terms of his interests and passion about things. And he talked about there at one point in time, he would have had a passion to talk about many things. I mean, he was interested. He was very bright. I mean, he was very smart. He had been described as gifted and talented. He had been in the International Baccalaureate Program, advanced placement. He used to discuss the superiority of the Australian School of Economics versus Keynesian economics. He talked about the problems with the Federal Reserve, future of the hemp industry. Sometimes he had these conversations that would be way over my head. So all this passion that he had, about talking about things was gone. And he said to see teach, I just don't feel this way anymore, and I'm hoping to find that person again. So he was losing himself. He was seeping or falling into this darkness. So this darkness was overwhelming him. And essentially, and he did not reach out, did not express. I know that sometimes that I would be riding with him, in the car, and I would just reach out to take his hand, to hold his hand, and he would never squeeze my hand back. That never stopped me from holding his hand, but he didn't respond. It was like this wall that he kept in terms of like my inner world I'm going to keep to myself. And that inner world was just so ugly and so dark, so hopeless. Essentially, he didn't see any hope. He didn't see that he had other options. You know, if he had just talked to us.
It's really hard for someone that's in that despair. It's so consuming.
Yes.
It's so consuming. Everything about you is just hard to breathe. It's hard to see, you know, there is no rationality. There, somebody comes with a solution. You know it intellectually. You know that this is what you should be doing. But the despair has taken over your mind, heart, body, and soul. And it is so hard to kind of come out of that. And you know, sometimes there are techniques that you can do. But even those techniques, when you're in that despair, you can't reach out for them. You can't reach out for them. It's almost crippling. And so it's so hard when they're in that moment. There are, you know, various medications that can help chemically re-chemicalize the body. Music is brilliant at resetting the body. But I think that most people who do take their own lives, they're in that moment of despair where they can't see hope. They can't see the way out. Everything is so consuming. I mean, I thought about it in the past in my life. I would never do it to my children. So I would never, you know, that was always what pulled me back. But when I was younger, I certainly thought about it. And I think a great deal of it is they're trapped in a world of despair where quintessentially the spirit and the soul link isn't there. So the heart isn't ignited. You know, if your heart isn't in something, the spirit has nowhere to go. And I think when the heart loses the passion, when the heart loses the meaning of life, when you haven't got the heart engaged, everything else around you starts to die. And that's kind of when that despair comes in.
Yes. Yeah, you said there was no, he didn't laugh anymore. Mm-hmm. He didn't joke anymore. He didn't smile anymore. There was really no humor.
He was just lost in himself.
Yes, it was hard getting to go to his psychiatrist. It was hard for him to, he refused to take medication. Mm-hmm. He just wouldn't do it, and we just felt just so helpless in the situation. And you do think back as a parent. And I feel, you know, I did not protect him. You know, I feel that I did not. I mean, we did a lot, but always I thought to myself, if I have found the right psychiatrist, if I have found the right therapist, if I have found the right coach, if I have found the right combination, if I could have found somebody who could have connected with him, who might have made a difference. And I learned, and I found about other things like I'm not sure if you're familiar with ketamine treatment is used essentially for severe depression. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember whether it was even available. There are just a few places and psychiatrists in Colorado who use that for people who are feeling suicidal, and it works, you know. And I started thinking there's so many things, and I thought, you know, that I don't know, asked enough questions, didn't try hard enough.
There is nothing that you did wrong. Nothing that you did wrong. It is a world that is so far removed from our comprehension that, you know, a lot of it had to be him. You know, when we're in that despair, we in ourselves have got to reach out to something we can hold on to so we don't go further down the rabbit hole. And when we've lost that reaching out for something, Then we're kind of totally lost to despair. It doesn't matter what someone's doing on the outside.
Yes.
All the good intentions, all the love, all the right people on the outside, if the person on the inside doesn't just put the hand out to reach, I am
Yes.
willing to reach, I am wanting to reach, I'm wanting to get out of this despair. As I said, if the pilot light is still on, then there's hope.
Yes.
But if that
Yes.
pilot light has been snuffed out, it is so difficult for because they're already in the darkness and they see no light around them.
Let me tell you, there was at one point that when I thought he had turned the corner. We had gone out to dinner somewhere, just Clayton and myself. And it was like he was himself again. He was smiling, he was laughing, he was joking, he was engaging, he was fully alive. I mean, the interaction we had, it was just so beautiful. It felt so good. I came back exhilarated, like, he's going to be okay. He's going to be fine. But what my wife and I have been in therapy ever since his death, a little over 7 years ago. And essentially, she's told me that when someone has reached a point where they are comfortable with taking his or her life, is saying that that's the way they will basically reveal themselves, that they resolve, it's okay, I'm going to do this. And I can accept this for myself now. And so part I'm thinking, like I just thought, I just said, he fooled me because I thought he was
No,
okay,
he
you know.
gifted you. He gifted you. Look at it in a different way. He wanted you to remember him in that moment. He wanted you to remember that moment. That was a gift to you. This is a taste of the son that you knew and you love. I can't be him anymore, but I'm gifting you this one last time.
Thank you for telling me that. It was a gift. It was really, a gift. I never thought about it in that way. Nobody's ever put it to me in that way. And I've been in a lot of therapy sessions.
Therapy deals with clinical. I'm a spiritual healer, so I hear the spirit. I feel the spirit. And he wants you to know that there was nothing you did, nothing you did, nothing your wife did. There was nothing that even other people did. Is that he was a soul trapped here that didn't want to be here. He was a soul that just couldn't live this life here. I fully understand it because it's damn difficult sometimes to live as a human being in this very cruel world, right? And there's numerous people that I've interviewed, sadly, who have lost their children to suicide, and each one of them has kept their light alive by something they've left behind, that story, that legacy that they've left behind, and they realize in the end that their child couldn't have continued on the way they were. They always were going to have a short life, but their length of life now is carried on within them, like it is within you now, with the book, with the sharing of the story. You are keeping his essence alive and will do for the rest of your lives. So it is hard to lose somebody physically, but if we understand they're stronger in their spirit than they were in their body, and we attach to the spirit, then we actually understand they're with us all the time, still guiding us, still nurturing us, and still showing us the path and giving us the strength and the courage to carry on with their light.
I have to share this with you, okay? Because I thought this was remarkable when you talk about his passing over to the other side. My wife and I are sitting in the kitchen, and my other two sons, Dylan and Evan, on the couch. And so Jamie says to me, did you hear that? And I listen, and I hear stomping upstairs. I mean, it sounds like somebody deliberately, purposely stomping down the hall. And I just said, it's one of the boys. And she said, no, the boys are over there on the couch. And I leaned over and I looked, and both of the boys were there. And it was like, it's Clayton.
Yeah.
You know, he's here. He's reminding us that he's here.
Yes.
And he and I walked upstairs and I just said, I ain't Clayton. I'm glad you're still here.
And he
And
is
then I
so pleased
passed.
you connected. He is so pleased you recognized it was him.
And I had dreams, some dreams about him. Just incredible dreams. Walking down the hall and opening a door. And there he was. And he was in this, just these amazing, brilliant, vibrant colors. And he was just there. And I saw it. And I wanted to reach out to hold him. And I thought, when I do, I'm not going to be able to feel him. But when I did, I could feel his body.
His
And
energy
I just
running
said
through
over
you.
and over, I said, oh, Clayton, Clayton, Clayton. And he just said simply, why are you crying? Like, I'm okay. I'm okay. And that was another gift he gave to me. Have you read, have you seen, my wife told me about this one book called Signs. I'm not sure. She's a medium and she can connect with people from the other side. And she said that there are ways when people have passed over, they can give you signs. And so she gives a little thing of how you can, you know, think about it, want to bring it about and let them know that they're still there. So the publication that I used to publish Clayton's book is called C.J. Sparrow Publication. And I named it that because Captain Jack Sparrow was one of Clayton's favorite characters. I mean, he would dress up as Jack Sparrow and talk like Jack Sparrow and act like Jack Sparrow. And he did that. I don't know, my wife thinks it was like for a year. He used to drive us. He used to drive us crazy. So, she, you know, in the book in Signs, it was talking about how, you know, things. So think of something that you could, you know, that might, you know, connect with the other person somehow. So I said, you know, I like to see somewhere Captain Jack Sparrow. And so I'm on, you know, just happened to be on TikTok, just flipping through stuff. And then I usually don't see it, but three occasions it pop up. There's Johnny Depp and Captain Jack Sparrow.
It was giving you the
And
thumbs up.
And so part of what was recommended is saying, when that happens, express your gratitude and say thank you. And I did. So that feels so good. You know, she talks about how we're, you know, spiritual beings just occupying a body.
Exactly.
And,
here to have a human experience.
Yes.
And we're all energy. Every single one of us is a frequency and an energy. And when we tune into the wavelength of another energy, living or gone, we are now communicating. And when you tune in and you channel and you've got that channel open, you can talk to Clayton anytime. He will find peculiar ways to talk back to you. Right?
I know. And I love that. And it's just given me a whole, I mean, this whole, as painful and awful as it's been, you know, I've had to really take a look at spiritual things and religious things. What do I feel? You know, what is death? And is, you know, what does that mean? And is there life after? And I just came to this place. I can still have my relationship. My relationship with him only ended in this physical sense, but it continues along on the physical plane. I can still have conversations. I can, he can still be with me. I can still have him in my life. It's saying the relationship didn't end. The
It
relationship
just
only
transformed.
changed,
It just
transformed.
transformed into
It just
a different
transformed.
form. That's all.
Yes.
Yes, we miss the actual holding or the human conversation, but on another level, you have a divine conversation that transcends words. That
Yes.
that is on such a higher plane that it leaves you with such a well-beingness and such a connectiveness that
Yes.
that you can't have on the human plane.
Yes. Yes. It's a beautiful thing.
It
And
is.
it feels so, I don't know, it's just so good now. I mean, it just feels so wonderful. Like I still have him.
Yes.
I mean, and he's still here, with us. And it's just a beautiful feeling and just wonderful. And I'm glad my wife shared that, that book
Yeah.
with me. And
The
I
thing is, I
still,
think he's
and
more
I realize.
comfortable in the spiritual realm. I feel that he's more communicative now, and he's finding ways to do the work he was meant to come here to do. And sometimes some souls are here too soon. The world isn't ready for them, right? And he couldn't
Yes.
find that groove, that wavelength in the human realm for him to come and do the work
Right.
he was meant to do. So he
Right.
will be reborn again as a beautiful soul. And every time they're
Yes.
reborn, they take the essence of the soul they were before, and they become a chorus of all those beautiful
Ah.
souls, right?
Yes.
And then they come
Yes.
back at a right time when they now can do the work that they're meant to do because humanity has finally got up to a level where it will accept it.
My wife was talking about just finding his way. I mean, there were things he enjoyed, like running and being on the track team, but finding his niche, finding folks at his level, finding people who could really connect with them, because he was just so very smart and so very
Intuitively
sensitive.
smart.
Yes,
He didn't
yes,
just rely
yes.
on knowledge. He knew intuitively how to look at the knowledge and what it really meant.
I described him in one, how did I put it? I said, when describing that the mask is dedicated to an amazing intelligence and grand sensitivity, personified in a young body with a very old soul. He challenges us to ask meaningful questions about very important things such as kindness, courage, integrity, faith. And that was the gift,
Yes.
of his book.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize when I started out, it was started out essentially as a tribute to him, to help in terms of his legacy, to keep his voice alive, to share his beauty with the world. That's why I started out. And then as time went on, I started to realize the impact of his story upon other people. And I found that out through when I would submit his book to get these book reviews. But even before that happened, I gave his manuscript to a man. I think it was in his 40s or 50s. He was a printer, and I wanted to see, what can you do in terms of printing the book? And he read the book and he cried. It touched him, it impacted him. He said, I was bullied as when I was young, and I had to go to therapy for that. And then there was another person who shared with me recently, and she said, Spike, I'm single, but I hope to have someone in my life. And at the end of the story, there's this question about whether he will be accepted by his wife because he's been transformed back to this so-called monster, because he would not complete this Faustian bargain. And she said, I'm hoping that I will be able to find someone who will love me for myself. And so
Yes.
these are adults talking about
Yes.
this, but
Yes.
we start up for
Oh,
kids.
but that's the beauty of it, you see. You he's sharing his story from his own perspective, and inside of him, he felt that the world maybe even he saw him as the monster because he couldn't connect. Obviously a very good looking boy, but when we feel kind of somewhat ugly inside, it's not the ugliness, it's just the feeling that nobody sees our truth, nobody sees our beauty. Now, a few years ago, and I've done it three times, I interviewed a beautiful young woman who'd been in an airplane crash and she was burnt 65% of her body. And each one of the shows I've done with her, she's always left me with a huge impact of courage and strength and inner beauty. And in 2017, she went on America's Got Talent. And when she came out there, clearly disfigured, you couldn't hide it. The rest of the everybody's looking, trying not to react. And she shared her story and then she sang. And when she sang, the beauty of her came out and nobody saw the outside of her anymore. Right? Your son couldn't show the beauty inside because the ugliness got in the way. But in the end, it was, but you must love me in all of who I am, ugly or not. And I'll tell you why that hits home to me right now is that my daughter is pregnant and she's just being diagnosed that she has a Down syndrome baby coming. And we know how cruel society can be. Now, in this family, that child is going to be loved to bits and we're going to navigate whatever we have to navigate because we know that I believe this child is here to teach us, to give us lessons, right? But we know that society can be extremely cruel. So, immediately there's the defense thing that goes up. The lesson learned through all of this is that do not judge the outside. As I said, a really good looking young man. But he wanted people to see the inside of him. Why can't you see the inside of me? Right? Why can't you see the dysfunction side of me, the struggle side of me? Can you love me in all my inner complexities? Or can you only love the exterior of me? And this is the lesson to the world. Stop just buying the book cover and start reading the book.
You're so right. No, I was just thinking about part of how his book has touched others. There was a lady, she told me, only referred to her as Bevan. She said, describe me as a social warrior. She's from an independent progressive school. And she was so moved by the book. She went to an eighth grade language arts class and said, read this book. And he said, I'm going to use it in my curriculum.
Yes.
And they she he they apparently they sat down on the floor, and I guess they don't do that in the eighth grade anymore, and one read the story to them, and then they wrote about their reaction to it, and some sent me letters, and one talking about loving yourself for who you are, and
Yes,
essentially if
yes,
someone
yes.
won't love you for who you are,
Yes,
then they,
inside
should
out,
not
inside
be in your
out.
life.
Yes, yes. You see, look at
And
the
there's
gift
an,
that keeps on giving, right?
yes. And then there's a gentleman, and just by happenstance, my son Evan said, why don't you call Mike Giles? Now he's the superintendent of Cherry Creek Schools, contacted him. He knew the boys when in middle school. And I shared Clayton's book with him and talked about it. And he says, Spike, he said, let me do this. He said, I have an advisory board of juniors and seniors, sophomores, and they talk to me about what they feel that I need to do. One of the things they expressed a need for was mental health. And you know how bullying can affect the mental health of
Yes.
people, and last, all the way into adolescence. But essentially,
And
I don't
throughout
know
your
where
life,
that's going
honey,
to go.
throughout your life, there are many people still bullied.
And I don't know where it's going yet. And he said, so he had, I think, about 70 students. He said they meet once a month. And he said, what I did was I talked about my relationship with Clinton, how I knew him, and I read a few things from the book. And then and he said, anybody interested in receiving a copy, you know, come let me know. And 55 students came up, gave their name, 55, and said they wanted to receive a copy of it. And he said to them, he says, what he's going to do is follow up is, you know, basically, what was your reaction to the book? How do you think we can use the book and with what students? Yeah. So if I can get, now this is my thought, you know, I mean, you know, bullying goes on daily across the
yeah.
world.
Yes.
We've got these little ones, young ones, preteens, adolescents, even adults. And
of course,
they experience,
and it becomes,
nobody.
It's called intimidation as an adult, not a bully, but it's still bullying, right?
Yeah. And it's just there, and it's just so prevalent. And I thought that really, you know, the book can be used, you know, to just create dialogue. Open
yeah.
discussions. And I thought, you know, really, even though you've got all these campaigns, you got anti-bullying campaigns, you got anti-bullying ads, you got slogans, you got all this, you got foundation, you got all these things. And I thought, how will it really change? And I thought the way it really is going to change is you're going to get a group of students together where they will build community. And they will learn to support themselves, learn to respect and love themselves. And I thought, what if you had a senior, you partner up with a junior, junior with a sophomore, and go on down, and you got together and you sat and you discussed this, and you made bullying not, you know, just something that, you know, like maybe TV or something or ad or a slogan, but you're sitting down and really talking about it, and you're saying, this is how I this is how I can learn to be a kinder, a more decent, a more loving person. And you mentioned the thing about like the difference and the baby to come. And I was reading, listening to Trevor Noah.
Yeah, I
and
love
he
him.
Had an interview.
I'm going to miss
yes,
him so much.
Too.
I'm going to miss him so much.
And he was having a discussion with Leslie Stahl.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and it was related to something else, but this stuck with me. When his coming to America, he said, there's so much hate
yes.
in America.
Oh, way too
so
much.
Much anger in America. And I started thinking, you know, like, where does that, you know, like impact in terms of how people interact and engage with themselves in the school? And the only way we can get by that is to talk about how ugly, how cruel, how painful it is, not in an academic sense, but
mm-hmm.
being vulnerable and courageous enough to risk
yes.
your inner self. You know, I saw
your heart.
This.
Your
yes,
inner heart.
Yes, yes.
Not being afraid
yes.
to open that heart despite what others want to do to it. Because if our
yes.
heart is open, our soul can't speak to us, our spirit can't be ignited, and our mind is just going to be confused. The heart must be opened.
Yes. Yeah, I saw, I don't know if you've read any of Mary Oliver pieces. She has one in Wild Geese. I think she has this expression called the soft, the soft animal of yourself. Essentially, to let that love the way it wants to love.
Yeah.
And then there's a line that says, tell me about despair, yours, and I'll tell you about mine.
Mm-hmm.
And the world goes on. And I thought, you know, but the courage to allow yourself the possibility of being wounded again. And that's so risky for some of these kids, particularly at this developmental stage. But I thought if that community can be built and people can start using Clayton's book to talk about
yes.
all those difficult topics, you know, and make it real, you know, for them, that
there is the
maybe,
gift that he left behind. There is the gift.
Maybe.
You know, the bottom line is getting people to open up and talk.
Yes.
He didn't feel he had
Yes.
anyone to talk to. He didn't know how to talk. He wrote it, right? But
Yes.
then he had gone down that rabbit hole so much where he'd shut himself that he didn't know how to reach out anymore. And if you can get to people before that rabbit hole opens up, if you can get to people who feel confident in themselves and don't understand what other people are going through, and they develop empathy and they develop
Yes.
compassion, right?
Yes.
The worst
Yes.
thing is apathy. And he went into apathy. And when you don't feel anymore, that heart is shut down. Our heart is our compass. It's our generator. It's what it leads us down the path of kindness, caring, love, possibilities, creativity,
Yes.
expansion. It is that vibration of frequency that lifts us up. But it also asks us to trust the vulnerability, and that even if you get hurt, nurture, kiss, and love yourself, but open up that heart again. Because
Yes.
if you shut down the heart, you shut down the living.
Yes. And one of the things when you mentioned about the inner beauty, when you talked about the woman who had been disfigured
Yes.
and she sang, and how they, and she was, embrace, is essentially, with that's one of the messages I say that Clayton talks about that is of utmost important. It's like the Bible mentions it, philosophers and mystic, that what truly counts, what truly is important, is inner beauty, not physical beauty.
1 trillion percent. Now, there's
Yes.
nothing to say that we can't admire outer beauty.
Yes.
There's nothing to say that we can't have the outside try and reflect our inside, right?
Yes.
Makeup, hair, clothes, we do that to try and be that window to come into the soul. But when you truly are in your inner love and your inner beauty and your inner purpose, that precedes you physically. It precedes you
Yes.
in everything else. People pick up that vibe of who you are before they even meet you. And when they meet you, it doesn't matter what the exterior looks like. They've fallen in love with
Yes.
the interior.
Yes. And part of what in Clayton's book, where when he accepts the Faustian bargain, where the mass says to him, the supernatural entity, essentially, I can make you beautiful if you will perform this task for me.
Yeah.
And he agrees and he's transformed and he starts to get the life that he wants. He's has his own shop. And in his shop, this woman comes in. She's not the most beautiful woman in town, and he all these other women are just falling all over him, attracted to him, everything else, but he's not impressed with that.
Right.
And she is more far more interested in the beauty of his sculpture,
Right.
and he's more interested in her because she likes art too, and they develop this friendship. And I like to describe it as like they see each other,
Yes.
with their eyes, but
With
they
a heart and
discover
soul.
each other
Yeah.
with their hearts.
Yes.
And so that's how Clayton, just straighted, here's a woman, not like a number 10,
Yes.
so-called. And here he is who can have anybody in town. But what he is drawn to and what she is drawn to, the inner beauty.
Yes.
And that's what brings them together. But, it's always, I remember one of the eight, who asked me, I think it was one of the eighth grade students, but at the end of the story, like when he is transformed and he is sitting on the edge of her bed and he says to something like Clara, it's Mel, it's me, Mel. Please wake up. And she says sleepily, "What is it, honey?" And she opens her eyes, and the story ends there. And folks like, will she love him for who he is? Will she reject him? What will happen?
The love is
And
already solidified. That's the thing. When the
Yeah.
heart and soul and spirit has made that connection, It doesn't matter the exterior. We see this all the time when, people have accidents and they suddenly become disfigured or disability, and the person that stays and loves them still sees the beauty of the essence of who they are, not the dysfunction of who they are. You know, that is the beauty of it. Is it's like, the story of the Beauty and the Beast. She fell in love with the Beast, and it, quite
Yes.
honestly, it wouldn't have mattered if you turned back into the Beauty, right? Because she fell in love with who the Beast was on the inside. It was him that saw himself as ugly. She didn't, right?
Yes.
And I think very often we project onto people our own insecurities, our own, well, you're not going to love me unless I look like this, or unless I've got X amount of money, or I drive this car, or I'm that important, or have this many followers. You're not going to love me. And all of that is empty. All of that is shallow. All of that will never feed you. Never. The
Yes.
truth is always in the heart and the soul and the spirit. And when that is ignited, the essence of who you are is actually beautiful, but only those that can see your beauty will be drawn to you. Those that can't aren't ready to see it. They're still on their journey.
Yes. It reminds me of the quote, I think Cahil Gibran says that, beauty is not in the face, it is a light in the heart.
Totally. Totally. And maybe this is what he was meant to do. He was meant to do, as you said, he was so kind of accomplished and so bright. He was an incredibly intuitive person. And this is the thing is, a lot of people get stuck in working just from their head. Academic, intellectual, duty, control, linear. And, the head has dictated that. Society has dictated that's what's important. But unless you're listening to the soul, and the soul cannot speak to you unless the heart is open. The spirit can't go into action unless the soul and the heart are open. The soul is the wisdom that guides and ignites the heart, that lifts the spirit into action, where the mind will know what it needs to know when it needs to know it. This is all data up here. And if we're only stuck up in the data, we never understand what that data is for. But when we listen
Yes.
to that heart, soul, and spirit's wisdom, its own intellect, we now know where that intelligent, what it's here for, and how to use it. And as you said, your son was so incredibly bright, and he saw things from such a different perspective because he saw it
Right.
already from the soul light, right? And the writing of this book was already from the heart and soul light. The only problem is he couldn't live it as a human being. He could only live it as a spiritual being.
Yes. Yeah, I remember as you were talking about his being bright and sensitive and intuitive, someone described, he said, a fitting tribute to someone who could see so clearly and feel so deeply.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, and it's just amazing. As I read, the reports and things that people would say, I thought, I found myself falling more and more in love, with my son, more and more respect for him, and saying, wow, I had no idea. I just didn't know. And it just feels good. It
But he
just feels
also
good.
wanted you to fall more and more in love with yourself, more in love with your own essence and your own purpose. By igniting, this, you think you've ignited his light to the world, which you have, but you don't understand it was to reflect the light that's in you.
Sarah, that
You.
is so profound and powerful for me. It's going to take me a bit to digest that. I'm working, on
Don't
that.
think it, feel it. Promise me,
Yes.
just don't think it, feel it. You have become such a light because of this journey, right? You have become
Yes.
the not just his love, but the love of not only his purpose, but your purpose. You've become a
Yes.
light into yourself. He wanted you to shine bright. He wants his mom to shine bright, his brothers to shine bright, but shine
Yes.
bright in their own light. But because he shone his light upon you, It allowed you to see and reveal your own light.
Yes. Thank you for that. I mean, it's something still that I'm, I'm struggling with. And I will think about those words.
Feel
I just
them.
know
Feel
his.
them. Don't think them.
Yeah,
Feel them. Feel them to think them. Trust
Okay,
the heart.
I got it.
Trust the
Stop
heart.
thinking about it. Stop feeling it.
Feel it.
Get out of your
Get out of your head. Because it's
No.
actually in the head we feel the most pain. It's in the head that the heart gets broken. But when we change it around to his life was here was short, yet his life lives on so profoundly and so
Yeah.
impactfully, right? So when you change it around and you look at it from a different way, it changes the way the heart feels, the way the spirit's going to interact, the way you're going to receive the wisdom, right? It's everything goes all
Yes.
about turning something around and looking at it from a different angle. And when we look at it for the gift that it is in gratitude and in openness and a willingness to learn what it means, then we truly understand the gift of what it is and who they are to us.
Yes. And it's a beautiful gift. I mean, it's a gift, like you say, to each of us individually. It's a gift to the community. It's a gift to the world. And I just feel that I am really on a mission for him
Yeah.
to keep sharing his wisdom and his love, with the rest of the world, and hoping that it's going to change lives. I
Yes.
mean, I remember some reviewers say, that Clayton's book may even save lives. And I thought, when I imagine, like just wondering, like Clayton hearing, "Hey, Clayton, folks are reading your book.
Yeah.
Folks are talking about your
He knows.
book. Folks are discussing your book. People are being impacted about your
Yeah.
book. Isn't that marvelous?
And he feels like
Isn't that so great?"
he's done more in his crossing over than he did that he could do in his living here.
Yes. I mean, it's been profound.
Yeah. What
Yeah.
about his brothers? How has it impacted them this whole journey?
Very hard. I mean, it's taken a long time to deal with the trauma of his death. And as you know, each person will deal with their grieving and their unique and individual way. There's no blueprint, there's no map, there's no instruction manual. Essentially, you just have to find a way to deal with it. And it's taken, I have to say, years, because to pull our family together again, to heal as a family, to get to a point where we can laugh and joke and make him part of the
Yeah.
conversation.
He's at the table.
So, yeah, initially, I mean, I just remember when I told his younger brother. I mean, it was a fury that you couldn't imagine. I had to physically hold him down so that he wouldn't, hurt himself. And so it's just been very gradual and over time that this whole thing of and I guess I don't want to say accepting, but reaching a pace of I guess being okay and understanding what
Yeah.
he did. I mean, I think they have said his Dylan, his twin brother, and Evan basically said he made a choice. That was his choice. It is not something that they could control.
You just have to
So
respect
finally,
it.
and so finally, I can say, the holidays have generally just been, for the most part, just not good. Let me put it that way.
But that's
But
also is
this,
a choice.
Yes.
Right? That is also a choice. And that's not his choice. That's your choice.
Yeah,
He wants you
but
all
this
to get
Christmas.
together. He wants everybody to share what's going on in their life. He's going to be there and he wants to hear joy and laughter. He doesn't want anyone to be in pain.
Yes. Let
And
me tell you, I can
especially
say.
now, he wants the laughter. So it becomes, let us make the choice.
Yes.
We are going to
This
step into
Christmas.
joy.
Yeah. This Christmas, though, I mean, I can see it being really quite festive. I mean, the house is decorated, the tree is up. My son put lights on the outside of the house. I've been wanting that for years. We got leaves up and everything. We've got his stocking hanging. You know, I mean, it's as you say, it's going to be good. But making, I guess I hear you were saying making the choice. But
Make
you
it
know, part of that
inclusive.
was, yeah, it was just for those years. It was hard. I mean, for me personally, you know, like I tried to find, I was told how his gift, his death was a gift. It was hard for me to
To
wrap
see that.
anything around that. And I
And now
came
you know.
across this book.
Now you
Now
know.
no.
Now you know
But I
what they're
came
talking
across
about.
this book. It said that a person's death is not, how did you put it, a blessing or gift or something to handle or something to get over. It is a loss in your life. Meaning is what you give it. And
Yeah.
finally, part of what I was able through his book
Yes.
was to find my meaning, and that worked so well for me. But there's still a whole lot of growth. I don't know what's in store for me as a soul in this physical body.
So much more to do.
Yes,
So much
yes,
more to do. And that's what I
yeah.
say. He wants you to step into your light, trust your own light, and shine it bright on others. He's giving you the gift of the message. Now take that
Yes.
message in every aspect of your life and
Yes.
share that message in your own words, in your own comprehension. But don't head it, heart it.
Gonna have to write that down on a card. I have to keep
And you
that
know, that
reference.
also is just in the mindfulness. You know, I'm thinking too much. Where is that going to take me? Down my own rabbit hole. So what am I going to do? I am going to deliberately do something that lifts my heart up, that brings me into joy. And in that, my light will shine brighter.
Yes. Yeah, one of the things he talks in the Book of Signs, he talks about gratitude
Yes.
and talks about energy levels and how you
Yes.
shift your energy levels, and recommending starting off in the morning and just saying, talking about a list of gratitudes, what you
Yes.
feel, that you're breathing, that you can move, you know, you're found, you know, just there's so many
I'm
things,
awake, I'm
really.
alive, and I'm ready to, you know, I'm
Yes,
grateful the fact that I am able to do something today, you know. Yes.
and shift that energy
Yes.
so that and just make it work for you. And my wife is like that, but she's a beautiful soul, beautiful being, you know, anyway, and she's always talked to us about. I remember just sometimes at the table, dinner table, she says, "Okay, tell me about three things you're grateful for today."
So she will get what I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay. There is something called the cosmic 2x4. And it's like when you're seeing all of the signs, but you're not getting the message, the cosmic 2x4 goes whack, lands you on your ass. And then it says to you, are you hearing me now? Pay attention to the signs. You don't want the cosmic 2x4, okay? The signs are telling you, be the light that you are. He
Yes.
lit that light inside of you, in the purpose, in the meaning, in the in the beautiful ripple effect that his story has had. It has ignited so many souls, lifted so many spirits, calmed so many minds, warmed so many hearts. Why hasn't it done that to you? Why are you still making excuses?
Yes. Need to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Change
part
the
of the
thoughts,
thing,
change the thoughts, and
yes.
trust the heart's feelings.
Yes. Yes. I am going to search my heart a lot more than my head from
Yeah.
now on.
Thank you.
I
Because that's what he's
know.
trying to tell you. Haven't you
Yes.
got it yet, Dad?
Papa,
Because it's
wake up.
only in the light that we can shed light on things, right? If you're still carrying a heavy burden of sorrow, you're weighing yourself down. If you let go of the sorrow and celebrate the life and the gift that he still is, and you will be in your lightness, you'll be able to shed that light on others so much brighter and so much more. Let go of the weight.
Yes. But let me ask you about this. I'm not sure how we're doing on time. Are we
No,
okay?
we're fine for time, don't worry.
Okay. So I came across this. I hear exactly what you're saying, but I came across this quote by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and she was talking about death and dying. And she said, the reality is that we will grieve forever. We will not get over the loss of a loved one. We will heal and we will reconstruct our lives around the loss we have suffered. We will be whole again, but we will never be the same, nor should we be.
No, I agree. The
So,
what I get out of that is this. For me, I have been a spiritual being in my entire journey here on Earth, and it has been for many lifetimes, is to ignite heart and souls. That is my purpose. That is my journey. I found it very, very difficult as a spiritual being to ignite humans' heart and souls when they want to be resistant, right? So it's got easier in the last few years because there's more and more wisdom out there. There's also a higher energy and frequency out there, which is igniting and inviting people. What I believe she is saying to you is, you're going to be forever changed because of the loss. But it doesn't have to be a bad change. Doesn't have to be a negative change. You will always feel the loss of him. I miss you. I wish you were here. I wish I could put my arms around you. But look instead to what you have gained. If we only concentrate on the loss is all we're ever going to feel. But when we look at the gift of what we've gained and what that spirit left behind for us, and we look at that, we are forever changed, but we can also be changed in a good way. You never disregard them by moving forward into the light. Instead,
Yes.
you take the essence of what they meant to you and you carry it with you forward into the light.
You just place my appreciation and feeling, and I'm saying feeling, not my thoughts, my feeling about the mass on a whole different level. And I thank you for that.
My pleasure. There are so many people that may be listening to this that have lost a loved one. And people will say to me, why am I putting this out at Christmas time? There is a great deal of loss at Christmas time. And there's a great deal many people that don't know how to go for the festive season because of those they've lost. I can tell you categorically, the people that have crossed over, the last thing they want is for people that they've left behind to be miserable.
Right.
They don't want you
No,
to
I
be
agree.
miserable. They want you, yes, to miss them, not dismiss them, but miss them. But they also want you to carry the essence and the joy and the love that they gave you with you in your heart.
Yes.
Cut a piece out. They're there. They're part of that generator, right? They're
Yes.
part of that light of who you are. And carry them with you in everything that you do. they do not feel that you living your life in joy and love and meaningful purpose is forgetting them, because you're taking the essence of the light of who they were with you.
Yes. Let me tell you something that I'm not sure if it's going to happen. I'm hoping it will. But I've written this manuscript, and I hope to get it published. But one of the things, one of the characters in the story is this brilliant lawyer by the name of Clayton Marshall. And I'm just so pleased with that. And I was telling my therapist, and she was saying, you know, like, Clayton had a gift for writing. You have a gift for writing. He's like father, like son. And I thought, yeah, that feels good.
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
A message I'm feeling from your son? Don't forget to incorporate the heroes of their brothers, of his brothers, in the book.
Yes, I'm just trying to, just from the standpoint, now I was thinking back, it's been written. I probably will have to do it in the form at this point in terms of a dedication, you know, to, you know, dedicated to, you know, Dylan and Evan and Jamie and Clayton, that kind of thing. You're right.
There's
You're so right.
There's a friend of mine that lost her son. A very, very, he was 13. He would, during, you know, lunch hour, call his parents to find out how the day was going. He was a beautiful soul. And he had a younger sister and a younger brother. And then he died, and nobody knew what he had. They just didn't know. He just died. Turns out that the grandmother had lost children that way and never spoke about it. So, you know, there was never, ever an understanding of what he died from. The mother went down the sorrow world so much that she dismissed her other children completely, ended up in a divorce, ended up with cancer. And the other children were feeling, well, you loved him so much, but you clearly don't love us.
Right.
And it's like, we have to remember there are other people living around us, and they deserve just as much love and attention as those that have left us.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, I remember, because I was mindful of that, because sometimes I felt what the amount of time and the amount of energy that I spent in terms of just trying to get Clayton's book published, Clayton's book out there. And I remember saying at breakfast to him, I said, you do understand that, you know, this is my way of honoring, you know, Clayton. And essentially that if something had happened with you, I would be doing the same thing. But back to the point, they're here now. So in everything they do, or anything they're interested in, or their passions, I'm there to support them. I'm there to talk about how things are going.
Yeah, because everything that you've learned through this journey, you know, you can now pass on to them. It's a different light that you're sharing with them now from the dad before Clayton left.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, one of the things in terms of, I say thank you more. Mm. I say I love you more.
Yes.
I
good lesson, folks.
More.
Remember that. Say I love you more.
And so, yeah. And that's how, I, you know, just try and to be present. I mean, really, to when sitting or talking or doing or sharing, just to be really present.
And never take anything for granted, right? You know,
it's
the gift is in the present, right? And and you know, that present is the gift that lies before you, and the gift that comes from within you. And you know, we always want, we never know. We never know. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not.
No,
so
no,
never
I
left
know.
Anything unsaid, never leave anything unfinished. You know, always remember that You always want to leave that beautiful frequency with if someone goes those last beautiful words, or the just that they know how you feel. And so many
Yes.
people put things off to tomorrow, and I'll do it one day, or I'll get round to it, or I'm too busy right now. Please don't be too busy. Make the time. And that means
Yes.
also making the time for yourself. Because how can you shine bright for anyone else if you're not shining bright for yourself? How can you share your love with anyone else if you're not feeling that love for yourself? The
Yes.
lesson he's given is be the love to be loved.
Yes. I have to say, you're so incredibly inspiring. You are, and I just want to thank you. What a gift you are, truly.
I'm just picking up on the gift that you are and that Clayton is and the message that he's got. I'm just tuned in. But the one of just imagine this. If everybody went about their day with a simple thing called kindness.
Yes.
Kindness, simple kindness. You don't have to
Right.
agree. You don't even have to like. But if just simply be kind to one another,
Yes.
imagine what a different world we would have. All the discord that's going on in the world, all the hate, all the loathing, all the death, all the greed, all the power hungry, that is the worst side of humanity. The beautiful side of humanity, Clayton has shown us, it's your inner light, your inner beauty, the love generator, the kindness, the caring, the consideration, the seeing the beauty inside the person. He's laid it all out.
Yes. Yeah, one of the things that you hit right on, that the message you're saying, what was Clayton trying to say? And saying, be kind.
Yeah.
It's as simple it's as simple as that.
And that means to
Still.
yourself as well.
Yes. Okay.
Into the heart, out of the head. Be kind. Don't forget to give yourself some love.
Historically just had, like difficulty doing that, but I think I've come
But you're a
a long way.
byproduct
And
of
I
your
have to say,
generation, right? You're a byproduct of the expectation. I'm sure we're around about the same age. I'm 68, and I never agreed with the way I was brought up. I never agreed with society's dictation of school or anything. I was always the oddball because I just didn't see it working. I didn't see it being kind. I didn't see it accepting people for who they were. And you've been brought up that way. Now you just have to look at it and go, hey, that didn't work. Let's try something new.
And the thing when you talk about kindness, I mean, it really is so very easy. I mean, it doesn't cost anything. And just in terms of just like a smile,
Yes.
I remember one time just being at a restaurant and just about to, ask for my bill, and someone said, it's been taken care of. And I said, what? And it said, and I start looking around. There's nobody that, nobody's trying to
Eye
catch
contact, yeah.
eye. But yeah. And so, just, another time that just in the restaurant, I just saw this elderly couple, and she looked up at me just with the most pleasant face and smile and just this way about her, and I nodded at her husband. I think they must have been in their 80s, just folks out having a meal together. And so I went over and just said, I'm paying for their meal, just to pass it on, just that kind
Pay
of
it forward.
kindness. But it
Pay it
Yeah,
forward.
but it doesn't have to be, like you say, hold the door
Yes.
for somebody, smile at somebody, ask somebody how they're feeling, help
Don't cut
somebody in
people off
need.
in traffic. Be patient. Yeah. We have a shortage of staff everywhere in the world right now. And so, don't be don't be impatient when you're out looking for
Right.
any form of service, that any form of service whatsoever, because there's a shortage of people and the people are already doing two or three people's work. Be kind.
Yes.
Ask them about their day. Say thank you, I
Yes.
appreciate you.
Yes.
Saying
Yes.
thank you, I appreciate you to someone means I see you. I see
Yes.
you. And what was one of the Clayton's problems? He didn't feel seen.
Yes, right. He
So
didn't.
you saying I see you to someone, I appreciate you, can go an awful long way.
Yeah. When you mentioned that thing about a server, Clay Dylan was accepted into nursing school. We're so proud, and we took him out to dinner. And then there was, and we just started talking with her, our server. And it turns out that she was in nursing school. And she, was in her like her last year. And I thought, how odd that is. All the places, all the service, everything else. Dylan gets accepted in
Synchronicity.
nursing school. Yeah. And here's this one. You talk about nursing school and just engaging and everything.
And
And
it was the
I just look
encouragement.
at, yeah. And I just look at it as a sign,
Yes,
and
exactly.
just great. Yeah.
Yes.
And also, and hopefully I'm gonna have to ask him, because I didn't. How did he see that for himself? That serendipity.
What encouragement did it do? Yes. We dismiss things like that. Oh, coincidence. No, there is no such thing as coincidence. I'm sorry, folks. Everything is there for you at the right time. The only question is, do you notice it?
Yes.
And there's the dog going, woof, yes, do you notice
And I apologize when they
it?
started
Don't
barking
apologize because
before.
the dogs have opinions. They're picking up on the energy and they're giving their two bits as well. We should actually listen to our animals a great deal more because they're hellishly much more in tuned. And we shouldn't just miss them when they're trying to say something to us. I had one dog that literally saved my life. Quick story, I was given a new antidepressant. And I was living in South Africa and I was driving in my open sports car with my dog, very windy road that was just, road cut into a cliff and then rocks all the way down to the water. And the bend was coming up where people would stop and look out because it's beautiful, but it was also a suicide area that people drove off. I had no thing of committing suicide, but I thought I could fly. And so my dog barked at me. She barked at me and I barked back. She pawed me and I poured her back. The next thing you know, she took her entire body, threw it on me, and I was driving stick. And my foot came off the pedal and let go of the stick, and I came within inches of the edge of that cliff.
Oh my God.
She saved my life. So never dismiss what an animal is trying to tell you. Never. Because we both would have been over the cliff, and I had no intention of committing suicide. I just thought I could fly.
Right.
So many people died from that drug, they had to take it off the market because too many people were dying from it, this antidepressant. But it was her. So we are going to keep talking about signs, animals, children, strangers you meet that happen to say something at the right moment. All of these things are signs. And we walk around with blinkers and la 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 la, hands over our ears. Be present as you walk through life. Because the signs in life are there to guide you. They're the knowledge you need in the moment. They're the information that you need or the redirection that you need to go in. You never walk alone. When you walk with spirit, you never walk alone, but pay attention to it.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to learn to do, to be more open to that, to see. There was a period of time that dimes started popping up all over the place in the house. Where did this come from? Where did that, in the drawer or somewhere? And then Evan was talking about one day he was in the shower and one slid down his back from his shoulders the floor. And he was saying, where did that come from? And we just said, it's Clayton saying hi.
Just plain silly buggers. Have I got your attention? Yeah. The only difference between the living and the dead is this thin veil. It, you know, the spirit is in everything. The energy is in everything. Every single particle, every living thing out there is made out of a matrix of energy. And it's when the body goes, that is just purely the vessel we're driving in. It has no more energy, but the spirit energy is still very, very much there. Clayton isn't going on anytime soon. He's staying around. He's staying around to support you. He's staying around to support his brothers and mother because he said your work isn't done. And this isn't going to be the only book that you write.
Okay.
So pay attention to him because he's there. He's there. He's, we're partners,
yeah.
Dad.
Yeah, I like that. And I wonder, and I didn't know. Yeah, I had even mentioned to my wife about talking to a medium to see if he had any messages, if he would reveal himself or say something.
He's been saying it to you all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, you don't hear it from your head, darling. It's only when your heart is open that you actually understand what he's saying. Right?
Yes.
He's talking to you all the time.
Yeah.
A medium can help
he's...
translate for you, and I've got plenty of mediums if you need that, that I've interviewed. You can listen to them and see which one you have a connection with, and they can help you with that. Because that is their job. Their job is to be the translator. But
right.
As I said, don't think him, feel him. And through
right.
the feeling of what he's giving you, the thoughts will come. And that
okay.
will be what he's trying to say to you. But he's very proud of what you've done with the book. He's very proud of what the book has done. He's very proud of the manuscript that you've written, but he says there's another one in you. And it's like, I'm with you, Dad. We're in this together. Pay attention.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much.
It's hard, I know, to physically lose someone. But when we, you know, I lost my dad when I was 11. And for me, it was, okay, he had several heart attacks. He was not a person that was a good patient. You know, he just challenged definitely. He'd been a fighter pilot in the war. And for him, it was like, just come on, let me get you, right? And eventually is what killed him. And at the age of 11, I felt guilty for not crying. So I had to force to cry. And then I went to my mother and I said, you know, God took the one that was the weakest and left the one that was the strongest. And it's, and I've spoken to my dad many times since then. And it's just that he just couldn't cope anymore because he never decompressed from the war. It was British stiff upper lip and all of that. So all of that just started eating away at him and eventually manifested, you know, through the heart, through his defiance, and it just took him. But I've never been afraid of death. I've never been afraid of people dying because for me, it's just, you know, a transforming to another dimension. And if we keep that dimensional door open, keep that spirit door open, yes, we may miss the physical talk and the physical interaction, but the spiritual, if we meet them on the spiritual plane, it is so beautifully divine and so meaningful and so impactful that it really can be your guidance and your compass through life. And it's, yeah, you can have the grief and you can mourn them, but please don't get stuck there because
yes.
you're missing out on the joy of the essence of who they are, who they still are, and what they are to you. And don't forget that they're still beautiful beings. They're just not a
Yes.
human being anymore.
Yes. Thank
And
you.
you're still
Thank you.
alive, and you've still got a lot of living to do.
I hope so. I do believe, just as you said, you never know what the next moment holds,
yeah,
you know, for you. So try to treasure it, you know. And I just love the thought, you know, you're saying that he wants me to recognize the light in myself.
Yes.
And
yeah, he's proverbially kicking your butt. Come on, Dad, can't you see it already? Open your eyes, feel it.
I'll get there.
Yeah, just
It'll take a
out of
moment.
head, out of head. When you trust the heart, soul, and spirit, that beautiful divine energy is so encompassing. It is so uplifting. It is so revealing that your head will only know clarity.
Yes.
Trust it.
Thank you.
Trust
I
it.
will. I will.
And when you've written the other book, come back and tell us all about that, because I'd love to hear about that too. And I know there's another book he's got in there for you as well.
Well,
But
that's the surprise, because I always thought that, when I named the publishing company CJ Sparrow Publication, I didn't say publications. I said publication because I thought Clayton's the only book I'm going to do. And
no,
then
but a
something happened.
publication is, they're going to be publishing. So, there's nothing in there
So,
to say you stop at one.
and when you say, yeah, this other, that maybe a, my two books in me,
Yeah, but
I don't know.
the other book will be written on the spiritual plane. And what I was saying is, when you truly and utterly immerse yourself onto that spiritual plane, and you are no longer in head, you're in heart, soul, and spirit, and you're communicating with on that level, that book will be the revealing of that.
Well, that's a remarkable statement you just made.
I know, I'm given sight. I'm given things that I see, right? And I'm just the messenger, so don't shoot the messenger here. But it's the same impact that his book has had in revealing to people, see the beauty with inside. And then you've done this other book, which is, kind of celebrating the life of maybe what he could have been or what you see him as being. But that other book is when you truly embrace the light within you and you really find that connection where you can hear him, don't need anybody to translate. That's when he wants you to write that story.
Yeah, that's level of enlightenment
Yes.
that part of my journey may
Yes.
some years,
Yes.
but I'll keep working at it. Yeah,
It just,
it's worth
it is, it's don't do, just be.
it. Yes.
Be it. Be the love. Be the light. Be the peace. Be the message. When you are it, you're no longer working at it. You simply are it.
And you transform the world.
You do. You transform it by your very essence of who you are. And whether you even speak to people or people just feel you, they're already shifted. Everybody's responsible for their own journey. Everybody's responsible for their own choices. You can't choose what happens to you. You can choose at how it happens for you and what you do with it. And what you do with it is your challenge, is your discovery of who you are, why you are, what your gift is, and whom you're here to serve.
Yeah, those are a lot of questions that I have
You're serving, you're
been
doing it. But it's again, it's just trust the flow. Trust the flow. Go with the wind, not against it, right? You don't have to be the salmon swimming upstream, okay? Just go with the flow and you'll be guided.
But I have to say, along the way, it just seemed that there were so many people along the way of just creating Clayton's book, that people just appeared and just helped. And I always marveled that so many people. And the same thing, I'm feeling also with this book that I've, yeah, that there
About
are
to
folks who
publish.
are. I help.
No
Gonna
excuses.
say one of the things it says in the book, The Signs, it said that in terms of manifesting and saying, and it's funny to talk about writing a screenplay, but just write it as if It has already happened.
Yes.
Writing, thank you for accepting this. And I'm so proud that you'd be willing to publish, you know, this book, and that it's going to happen by the state.
No,
And,
because what you're doing is you're putting the positive energy already out there, and then people pick up that energy and they want to know. You know,
yes.
If you are in doubt, people pick out the doubt. If you are in assurance or positivity, people pick that up. We've got to be careful
yes.
of the seeds we plant and how we water and nurture them, because if we get weeds, we planted those, right?
Right.
So if you want something to manifest in all its glory, plant the roses. Right? You know, plant what you want to see grow. And that goes for everything. That goes for our attitude. That goes for our perspective. That goes for our inner belief. That goes for our action. You know, and it's right. You have it, see it being well received, and where people want to take it to the next level. Already, Clayton's book has already done such profound work that you will never know the profound ripple effect that it's had. Because it ripples out and ripples out and ripples out. And you may, you know, maybe one in a million may come back to you with a message. But the whole thing is that the mess, it's still rippling out and having its impact. It's doing its job. It's now time for the next one.
Yes. Okay.
And I'll see you back here next year on all about that book. There's no nudge, nudge, wink, wink. There's a cosmic 2x4 flying above you here.
I'm going to write that down. Cosmic 2x4. That would be something, maybe. Maybe.
No, no, you don't want that. That flattens you. That's when you have to kind of, you know, learn to stand back up again on your wobbly feet and go right through it. You're beyond that. You just need the nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Right?
Okay.
You know, or the proverbial kick in the butt.
Yeah.
Out of head, into heart. You've got all the answers. Just go with it.
Yeah, I got the first edit upstairs, and tonight I just need to go through. I talked to somebody, just a buddy of mine, and he said that he had read the first half of the book, which surprised me, because I thought nobody's going to read. I mean, you know, they're just
doubt,
they're too busy.
Doubt.
They're too busy. They're too.
If it's important,
says,
people
will half.
Make time. Don't assume.
And he
don't
says,
assume.
And I want to. Yeah, and I want to talk to you about it. And I thought, wow, you know. So tonight, I'll be at the computer.
Good. And actually, in fact, you've just actually kind of, you know, turned your boots around it, because I've written my memoir and I'm halfway through editing it. And then I've just got too busy. And then, of course, we've, you know, with my daughter and the baby and the other baby, 20 month old. And so it kind of got put on the back burner, but I had wanted it to be out by now, but it will most certainly be out by spring. So I've got to get on and finish that.
Yes. I'm just thinking in terms of time frame. I'm uncertain. Are you going to self-publish? You're going to do traditional? Do you know?
I'm going self-publishing.
Okay.
And my brother is a professional author. He's done the publishing way. It ends up being torturous unless you're with a good proactive publisher. But if you go with a publisher, you could be 6-9 months before they kind of get to the publishing. You're still going to do the same amount of promoting, the same amount of podcasts, the same amount of
hiring
somebody to do the advertising, the social media for you. You're still going to have to do that whether you're with a publisher or not. So having somebody that creates space is really, really good for that. For doing, you know, putting it out as an ebook, getting the ISBN number, and plug, I think it is very good at laying it out. And you can hire students that can do the book cover or even lay it out for you. There's plenty of people that do that, right? They can prepare it for you. But then just if you go create space, you can have it as an ebook to start off, and then, you know, print on demand.
Now, I have a very good friend. His name is Samer Farag. He was instrumental doing so much with Clayton's book. And he's already produced the cover for me.
Great.
And I mean, so he's right there, and
So
he's lovely. I mean,
everybody is saying it's time, let's keep in the flow, let's keep going, right? So it's all there. Hint, hint,
it
wink, wink, right? It's all
is.
there.
You know, this is kind of exciting. You know,
Yes.
one of the things she said that in terms of science, she was saying that for your book or whatever project you have, you know, like go and cut out things, you know, five, six things. She cut out something called, oh, she just New York Times bestseller, and then other kinds of things, and just put them up, and she read it, and essentially this is the way she was manifesting,
Yeah,
and her book
I
became,
create graphics. Yeah.
yeah, and her book became a New York Times bestseller, you know. So I'm
It's
going to be
you know,
thinking.
for me, I always look at it this. You know, people say, how many people listen to your show? And I go, all those that are ready to hear it. It's the same with your book. Once it's out there, you know, your baby is out there, and it's all those that are ready to read it. And we can do the promotion, we can get it out there so people can find it. But how people and when they read it, what they get out of it is entirely their thing. And we have no control of that. And if we don't look at, I need to have the numbers, and instead, I just need it to have the impact on someone that's going to benefit their lives. And that's all we can do. If it can help somebody on their journey of life and help them in any way, I believe that inspiration begets invitation. And when you inspire someone, it invites them to want to take action in their own lives. So
That's
just go and
beautiful.
inspire.
I'm hoping to. I'm gonna see.
Don't
I've
hope,
got these.
just do.
Like I say,
And
it's
just
been written. It's
be.
gone through the. It's gone through the first edition.
Right, good. So
Yeah.
and it'll be out in the spring, and I'll have you back then, and we'll talk about the book.
It will be up in the spring. But I will set a reasonable date.
April. Okay. And sometimes it's good to give yourself a date because that means that you're going to make the time and the effort to coordinate and get things done.
Yeah, you're right. I got to do that. I
Yeah.
need to do that, you know, because so far, I mean, it's like a number of different things that I've had to, you know, handle with Clayton's book. But now I start, actually, I was start thinking, you got the time now.
Yeah.
You got the time now.
Yes.
Put in the time now.
Put in the time now. Yes.
Because I'm retired, so I
right,
have time.
exactly. And the thing is, just as Clayton's book became an inspiration to you on the impact that it was having, you have no idea how this book is going to be received or its impact. All you do is you send it out with love. You send it out with loving intent. And the impact that we've had, the numerous amount of people I've had back and saying, the impact that my book had on people was not something I ever could have imagined. And if we allow the book to be what it's meant to be, to whom it's meant to be for, then you know that book takes on its own life, its own identity, and really allows us to then, you know, kind of really expand to what we're meant to be, and what it's meant to be, and what it's meant to be for, right? It's like these shows, they go out. How people hear them, what they get from them, how they share them, you know, how it changes their life is out of our hands. But we give it with love.
And I have to think about it in that fashion.
And you have to feel about it.
Two by four.
So now you don't have any social media or anything, but however, the book, The
Nothing.
Mask, can be found on Amazon, Indiebound, Barnes and Noble, and Clayton Marshall Adams, and then they can also go to cjsparrowpublication.com. So cjsparrowpublication.com, and they can have get the books from there as well. And of course, if you're
No,
wanting to, no.
not on, you know, the publication, I mean, the website basically is like praise reviews, more information about Clayton, a picture of Clayton, and about Rohan.
Yeah, but
it
does also give the links to where you can buy the
book.
Oh,
it gives the links.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazon, BCH, Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a great picture here of the family as well, which is great. And then on the website, you've created 20 questions that teachers and parents can use for discussion, which I think is really good for people to have. And if people want to book you for an interview or want to just talk to you about something, they can go through heather.huzovic@gmail.com. That's your publicist, and she can schedule an interview or schedule a time as well. So, you know, I think that he's proud of you. I know he is. He's proud of what the book has done. It's still got so much life in it. It's still going to be out there. I'm a huge advocate for giving books for Christmas. Because, you know, books keep on giving. This is a Christmas show because it's about hope. It's about keeping the spirit alive. It's about, doesn't matter what the loss is, look at the gain, right? Always look at the gain. And he's left such a beautiful gift and legacy behind that you have been the catalyst for, which has now inspired the next book and the book after. And the whole journey that what you've learned and becoming your own light. And so this is a great book to give to someone that may be struggling with their own identity, struggling with living the outside life or not knowing how to live the inside life. And so this would be a great gift to give to people. Amazon Prime, you can get it in 1 or 2 days. So you get out there and order it, right? And a book you can give anytime, not just at Christmas. If you see somebody struggling or just, you know, just a good book for a family to read and then talk to each other, right? Talk to each
other.
Exactly. Right. It's been wonderful having you here, love.
And
thank
let
you
me,
so much.
Let me, this has been amazing. Thank you.
The little
so
bit of
much.
Showing the cosmic 2x4. Get into the spirit, the spy. Get into the spirit.
Thank you. Thank you.
My pleasure.
God
my
bless
pleasure.
You.
God bless
and
you too.
Your family and the little one who's coming.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. He's, you know, I know he's a gift to us, and I know that he's here to teach us. And, you know, the thing is, when you have love, love can carry you through anything. And so stepping into love, genuine love, is something that is such a great healer, motivator, creator, clarity, everything. So just always remember, heart to head.
I will.
And
you.
To everyone out there, have a very wonderful festive season, and please share this show. Really reach out and get the book. It's an important message. Living from the inside out is the message, knowing that you are beautiful no matter what you feel inside or what you feel outside. There's always somebody that will see you for who you really are and love you just as you are. And that's the fundamental message, love. Until next time, folks, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. Find all of our shows on selfdiscoverymedia.com under podcasts or selfdiscoverymedia/shows. And for all our current shows, go to What's New. We are supported by you, the audience. You'll see a nice big shiny blue button for one-time donations or follow us on Patreon, and you will be able to support us there. We enjoy bringing you such wisdom. And the next show will be up in just a moment.